Today, we're talking about take up your cross. And what does it look like to take up your cross? You know, when we talk about taking up our cross, the world looks at it, because it's this contemporary thought process that we have, which sometimes just really frustrates me. And some say that their job, boss, car, mother-in-law, or their wayward teenager is their cross to bear. It is not their cross to bear. When the disciples were sitting here with Jesus, and you got to remember that they went off to be by themselves, or Jesus did, and they joined him, and they said, listen, and as they were talking, and Jesus was unfolding this, and he was talking to them, and he says, listen, if you desire to come after me, then you got to deny yourself, because it's not about you, it's about me, and then you got to take up your cross. And I'm going to tell you, when it said take up your cross to them, here's what they knew about the cross. It was incredibly painful. It was incredibly uncomfortable. There were some serious issues that came with that they knew that was going to come. And so their cross represented horrible suffering, pain, death, and the crucifixion method, that was a common thing. So when they're thinking cross, they understand that. And then Jesus was calling them for a willingness to do these things. It was endure hatred. So take up your cross means you have to endure hatred. Man, we don't like that. That's why do you think the majority of the churches and the Christians don't want to offend anybody? Because they don't want to endure hatred. They don't want to have somebody upset with them. They don't want to have somebody coming up to them and going, I don't agree with what you did. And so because I don't like what you did, and all of a sudden there's this attack, and we go, I love you, dude. Just right? He's a visitor going, junk, man, what did I do? Sorry, brother, I like to involve, yeah. So I figure if he can get up there, he can endure that, right? And so, but we all of a sudden we're going, oh, I'll never offend you again, and we just shrivel up. Well, Jesus says you got to endure that. What does that look like? I love you. I'm sorry that you were offended, but it was with truth, and so I'm going to stand straight and tall. That's what it literally means to endure the hatred. We have to endure hostility, rejection, reproach, persecution, shame, and sometimes the most horrible death. If we look and you read and you read some of the martyrs, the death that some of these martyrs have gone through, horrendous death, and we got to endure that. That's take up your cross. So far, this hasn't been a pleasant message, has it? All right. So, you know, the truth is, guys, if I'm gonna raise you up in the spiritual maturity, we got to understand what's required of us. Because if we don't understand it, how can we grow? How can we move on? How can we be strengthened? Listen, nobody's strong when everything is good. It's when you get into that fiery trial. It's when you get into the valley. It's when life just absolutely stinks that we find out who we follow and who we love and who we gain our strength from. And that's literally take up your cross. It's going to happen. And you know, it's no small sacrifice when you think of the gift that we get in return, which is eternity. Man, sometimes I think we fail to realize, because you know, you hear something enough, you see something enough, and it becomes numb. I mean, it's just like, yeah, okay, another day, who cares, so what, let's move on. Entice me to something different, challenge me. You know what, this is old news and I'm numb to it, even though it's truth and it's about to take you over, we just have a tendency to ignore it. You know, if you look at the attack on America at 9/11, how many remember that day? Oh my goodness, how many remember where they were that day? And what you were doing that day, man, it was impactful. I still get goosebumps when I think about it. And for six months, man, people were seeking out God. They were scared. They were looking for answers. They were going, something, you know, we're being attacked, and we gotta go. And who's this group, Muslims, that's attacking us? And oh man, we gotta. And for 6 months, there was this. Urgency, this desire to seek God because we were scared. I remember I was at the time I had my own business, and And I was driving down the road, and this guy was broke down on the left-hand side. And my business was, we had vans and drove around, usually to appointments. We didn't just drive around looking for somebody stuck. But we would do on-the-site automotive repair. And so this guy's broke down with a flat, and I'm in this huge hurry because listen, if I keep going and I bust a couple red lights, I'll be there on time. You guys didn't catch all that, right? And so that was my thought process, right? And so I'm driving, and I look over, and I see this guy broke down. He's got a flat tire, and God said, stop and change that tire. And I went, I ain't got time for that, God. And God said, stop and change the tire. Now I'm getting upset. God, you told me to be responsible. I'm being responsible. And if I don't get there, I'm going to be late. How responsible is that, God? I don't have time to change his tire. He's a grown man. He's not a wimp. He can change his tire. And God said, now. I'm like, ugh. Hit the brake, literally drove over the totally illegal U-turn, tearing my van up, drove over the berm, made a U-turn, went back. I'm mad, right? Because I'm not denying myself, right? It's all about me. And really what God's saying is, it's time to take up your cross. So I get up there and I pull up and I get out and I go, do you got a spare tire? And he's trying to be nice. And we're in the South, so you know he's really trying to be nice. And he says, man, I am so thankful that you stopped to help, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, my name's all over the side. What we do is all over the side of the van. And I'm like, yeah, dude, whatever. You got a spare tire, get it out. I ain't got time to talk to you. We're going to change this. Well, you're going to get on your way. I'm going to get on my way. So hush. Like, that's what I'm thinking. I didn't say it out loud. But I was being rude. And I go, look, man. No problem. You got a spare tire. Get it out. Let's get this thing done. And so I get the jack out. Boom, boom. I mean, you know, within 2 minutes, because I was efficient, within 2 minutes, that wheel is off. And he's talking the whole time. And I'm going, shut up, man. Just go sit in your car. I'll call you when it's done. And he's talking. And then he said this. He said, you know, because I had scripture on my van as well, and I'm a good testimony, and he said, I notice you have scripture that you believe in God, and I go, absolutely, I believe in God, and he goes, I've been scared to death ever since 9/11, and man, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit of God just swept in there and crushed my heart, just crushed me. And I stopped what I was doing, and I said, he goes, I have questions. And I said, man, I got answers. See, it wasn't about the flat tire. It was about me taking up my cross is really what it was about. And he said, after 9/11, man, I'm just scared. I don't know what's going on. There's got to be more out there. God's got to be real. Something's got to be real. Can you help me? And I said, dude, I can help you. And right on the side of the road, before I changed his tire, I led him to the Lord. Changed the tire, sent him on the way, got back in my van, and I said, Lord, forgive me. Please, Lord, forgive me. In my desire to pursue my desire, I forgot about you. God, forgive me. And of course, in God's goodness, because, you know, what's he doing? He's growing us through these events and these trials that we go through. And he says, you're forgiven. My phone rang, and it was a meeting that I was supposed to be at, and obviously I wasn't there. And he called me up, and he goes, man, I'm sorry that you've had to wait on me, but it's going to be another 30 minutes before I can get there, 25 to 30 minutes before I can get there. And I go, dude, I haven't made it either. It's going to be 25 to 30 minutes before I get there. He goes, perfect. We'll get there right on time. And we got there. We both pulled in at the same time. See, God had it under control. But today, Islam's trying to take over Christianity in America. And see, 9/11, we were scared and we were worked up and God's still in control. And then here we are, how many years later, and all of a sudden we're numb to the very thing that tried to destroy our nation. And that's what I'm talking about. Sin, we get numb to, guys. And what happens is we forget what it looks like to take up our cross. Jesus was calling for a willingness to endure all of that. If you look at 1 Peter 4:16, and there's so many scriptures, I just wanted them up on here. So if you'll look up here, it says, "Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian," so obviously this is very specific to who he's talking about. "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." Guys, to take up your cross means you're going to suffer. Not suffer with ailment, not suffer with house payment, not suffer with a broken down car, not suffer, but suffer for Jesus. That's what he's talking about, to be very specific. Because some of you could be sitting there going, "Oh, I'm suffering, so I'll just carry this cross." That is not the cross that he's talking about. The cross that he's talking about is what you go through because you love him. And you're going, by the way, you're going to go through it, because if anyone suffers as a Christian, that means you're going to. When it happens, when someone suffers as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but glorify God in this matter. You could read it that way, and it's very appropriate. And so Jesus was calling for a willingness. And to go through this process, I'm gonna unfold some passages that show Paul suffering by taking up his cross and exactly what it looked like. But for some of us, we need to go through a process. And I have a video, so if you'll get that video ready to go up, we have I have a video that's going to show you the process that God takes some of us through to prepare us. And if you're not spiritually mature and you don't allow God to take you through the process that you're about to see in this video, you're going to struggle to take up your cross. As a matter of fact, if you don't allow God to take you through the process that we're about to see in this video, you will not take up your cross. You won't grow spiritually. As a matter of fact, you will be spiritually inept babies that can't even find their own nipple unless mommy or daddy picks it up and puts it in. And you will never pick up your cross. Now, some of you say, "Well, that's harsh, Pastor." No, this is reality. And if you remember, I told you back in the beginning of this month, when we started this spiritual maturity, that my job is not to make you feel comfortable in here. My job is to challenge you. My job is to educate you. My job is to teach you. My job is to raise you up. My job is to equip you so that you can go out and do the work of the ministry. And we're going to have fun in the process, but not every Sunday is going to be fun, and not every moment is going to be a laugh. Man, I'm just telling you guys, if you're not willing to go through the process and let God take you through the process that we're going to watch in this video, you will be stuck. And I don't want you stuck. So if you will, go ahead and kill the lights and start the video.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't really see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso. It's like, but I want to be His masterpiece. I want to be everything He created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, "Dear Heavenly Father, do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of Your Son. Make me Your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."
Hi.
Whoa.
Who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am.
You're not God.
No, I am. You said the prayer. That's how it works.
Okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? I really don't want to make it snow in here because it'd get kind of yucky.
Yeah, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is only 5 chapters. It's a very short book.
Oh. Why was it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. Okay. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
I'm really not into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
What gave it away?
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yeah, I do that, don't I? I did it again. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, what are we doing?
I'm going to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Wait. What are these about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Yeah.
I, thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Step right up. Here we go.
Okay. Oh, hey, God. Mm-hmm. How do you know what to chisel away and what to leave?
I take out everything in your life that doesn't belong there, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of dead weight, could you chisel right here? It showed up when I was in my 20s and grew around and became back fat. I don't even know why you created that, but I can't get rid of it. I mean, I've tried everything. Like, I tried running. I tried lifting weights. My wife actually talked me into trying Pilates. That was awkward. But I can't get rid of it. So if you would just chisel around here, and then, you know what, if you chisel a line right here and maybe four to five, maybe eight lines right here. That would be awesome.
You're funny.
You made me that way.
I also made the platypus.
The platypus?
All I'm saying is most of my children, when it comes to this process, they just want to talk, but they don't want to do the work. So do you want to talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel.
No,
talk,
no,
chisel.
No. I choose to chisel.
All right. Through my Holy Spirit, I'm going to bring up things in your life that I want you to work on. Like your anger. I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrong way. You compare yourself to others instead of me. You tell little white lies because you want to people please. You're lazy. But you try to fool everybody by looking really, really busy. You have a problem with lust?
Time out. I don't really have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Hang on a second. I mean, I got to admit, I feel like you've been doing some great work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
All right, when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, don't misunderstand me. It's just, when I look more like Jesus, people get uncomfortable around me. I mean, even my church friends, and they're like, oh, you're holier than thou, you know? And I don't think I'm supposed to make people uncomfortable.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
That is not what I said.
What you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. You know everything that I'm thinking. I'm just saying you've done some great work. Maybe we take a break, a sabbatical from each other, you know. I'll stay right here and then, you
know. That's just it. You never just stay right there. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but never you just stay. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control,
chisel. No, chisel.
All right.
But can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Now this right here, this secret sin that you keep running to whenever you're hurting, angry, lonely, tired, that you think you're fooling everybody, but it's making you a whitewashed tomb. Are you ready for me to chisel this out of your life? See, it's a process. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life. And you care so deeply about what other people think of you. It's rubbish. It's garbage. The greatest thing you're ever going to hear is at the end of your life when you hear me say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what you keep your eye on. That's the prize. Heavenward.
Oh, that hurts.
Oh, trust me. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't think you understand this pain.
Pardon me?
You're asking me to sacrifice a lot, God.
Don't talk to me about sacrifice. I know all about sacrifice. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you've been doing for years. These empty wells that don't have anything to offer. You've been going to them, and it's insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life. Allow me to produce character where you keep focusing so much on your image.
Okay, but I was thinking.
Your thoughts are not my thoughts.
Okay, but if we went another way.
Your ways are not my ways.
Oh, I can't.
You can't what?
I can't be good.
That's your excuse. That's your excuse, is that you can't be good.
It's not an excuse. I can't.
Oh, my child. In the beginning, I said it was good. I made you good. Be good.
Yeah. But you and I both...
What?
Nothing.
No, what is it?
Nothing, okay? You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, I let let you down so many times, God.
No, my child. You were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand. Never the other way around. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Okay. And chisel away. Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror and I hate who I see. Because deep inside there, this little kid who gets up every morning and dresses like an adult. And I go out and I try to do what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, okay? I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. And so inside is this scared, stupid little kid. But you chisel away. Just be prepared.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that were not from me. And you have totally bought into the lie, haven't you? You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night after you've done the dance to get the hug, you think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't take time to make junk. How can I show you that my love for you stretches as far as the east to the west? How can I show you that my love for you has no end? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, God.
Yes?
I just meant, God, I'll do that right now.
You're just saying my name in vain.
Come on. It's a name. It's a saying.
It's a name above all names. It's more than a saying. It's more than a name. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what that is?
Yeah, it's a note. I wrote it when I was in college. How did you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie.
Other side.
Sorry. Dear God, did I hear you right today? Did I hear you say that you love me? Even though you and I both know I've messed up so many times. Did I hear you say you want to use me? And I feel so useless. If you'll take me and use me, then God, I give you all that I am. Take me. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. This salvation that you hold, I don't want it to be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out in every detail of your life. And when problems come and chaos happens, don't look at this as a prison, but look at it as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you gave everything over to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's.
No, not the way you see yourself or you try so desperately for others to see you, but maybe for the first time in your life, the way I see you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
In order to take up our cross, we got to allow God to chisel and to form us and to grow us, challenge us. There's a process that we have to go through as children of God. There's a process that God says, listen, you're going to have struggles, and you're going to have trials, and you're going to have tribulations in your life. But I already knew this. And my job is to prepare you for those times. What I find interesting is we hang on to Jesus loves us, and then we forget that love sometimes means doing some uncomfortable things that shows that. You know, there were times where my children, as perfect as they thought they were, got spankings. And in the process of getting the spanking, they did not appreciate it. But what it did was it created godly young women that was respectful, that made good decisions as they grew up. It helped them to do what was right, to understand what was right, to go through, even though it was uncomfortable, it formed them to being respectful, godly young ladies today. And even though, how many have ever spanked their children or done something uncomfortable to their children out of discipline? Yeah, I've spanked my girls and then went into the bedroom and cried. Like, I left them crying in their bedroom and then I went into my bedroom and cried. It's not enjoyable, and God doesn't enjoy punishing us. God doesn't enjoy some of the things that he allows us to go through because he knows it hurts us, but he knows ultimately that pain is going to bring him glory down the road. And so what I'm telling you is that you have to understand that you're going to go through trials. Now, Paul understood this. And so in Paul's farewell speech to the elders of the church at Ephesus, Paul went back and reflected with them of what happened in his life. And so in Acts 20:22, he says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." He told him, he said, listen, God's already made it clear that this is not going to be an easy trip. God's already made it clear that I am not going to be comfortable. God's already made it clear that there are going to be some hard times. God's already made it clear that I'm not going to appreciate all of it. But I'm not going to allow any of that to deter me from honoring God and doing what he has called me to do. See, and that's got to be our attitude. But how could Paul have such an attitude to serve God with, knowing that he's walking into the fire? Most of us run from the fire. And I'm going to tell you, there have been so many times in ministry where I've wanted to run from the fire. But you know what God called me to be as a pastor? He called me to be a firefighter too. And so I know I can't run from that fire. I got to put the fire out. I got to approach the fire. And I know that there's times where I'm going to get burnt and it's going to hurt, but I still got to do what God's called me to do. And you're no different. God's called each and every one of us as his children to sometimes walk into a fire. But we think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? And by the way, it's Abednego. So, you know, like Abed we go. Anyway, all right. And so what happened when they went, you know what? I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to love God. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be obedient to God. And your sinfulness is not going to deter me from what I have to do to honor God. And so they said, fine, then let your God save you and throw them into the fire. And the fire was fired up 7 times hotter than it was normally, so much hotter that when the soldiers opened the door, they died from the flames. And so they throw three of them into the fire, and then the king looks, and how many does he see? Four. This is not a story. This is an event. This is an event that happened in history. This is true, it is accurate, and it is the grace of our God. And so four are found in there, and who's the fourth one but the Son of God? And then the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they walk out of the fiery furnace with not a hair singed and not even the smell of smoke on them. God calls us to walk through some fires, guys. And these fires are going to grow us and they're going to build us up. And we have to be obedient to what God has called us to do. A short while later, Paul shares, says to the ones that are concerned about his safety, he says in Acts 21:13, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of Lord Jesus Christ." Why was he able to do that? Because he allowed God to chisel him into the man that he was to be. And what I want to tell you guys is taking up your cross is allowing God to chisel you into the person that you want to be. And when you take up your cross, it is not always going to be comfortable. Man, it's going to hurt sometimes. And it's going to be painful sometimes. And there's going to be times, because I'm sure that there were times, and I know for a fact there were times where Paul was just like, "Lord, not again. I'm just not quite ready yet to walk into that fire again. God, it's been so painful, and I just can't take any more." And God says, "My grace is sufficient for you. You're not alone." I love it in the video when he says, "You don't understand. I can't be who you've called me to be." And God says, "Oh, hold on a minute. Yes, you can. If you allow me to make you what you are to be, then you can be what I've made you to be, and everybody's going to get the victory. It isn't always going to be pleasurable." Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15:31, "I die daily." And then in 2 Corinthians 11:22 through 33, he talks about what that looks like. And so as he says, "Are they ministers of Christ?" 2 Corinthians 11:22. "Are they ministers of Christ?" Let me see here. Hold on. Let me make sure that I am. There we go. "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often." He talks about how he has suffered for Christ. And he's saying, "What, you think that you've suffered? Let me share with you. Let me tell you what I went through." And so he unfolds that. And then in verse 24, he starts. "From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one." And of course, what he's saying is I received 39 stripes. The law said that every time that you were found guilty, you would get 40 stripes. But the guy giving the stripes, that was giving the lashes, he would always stop at 39 just in case he missed one. Because if he gave more than 40 stripes, then he was to receive 40 stripes. And so that's why Paul says, 40 stripes minus one, because I was told, they found me, they convicted me, they gave me, the sentence was 40 stripes, but they only gave me 39. And that's why, because the one given the stripes did not want to get it in return. And so he would stop at 39, just to be sure. Verse 25, "3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned." And not only stoned, but they took him to the dump pile and threw his body there and left him for dead. That's how stoned he was. He goes on, he says, 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in the sea. In journeys often, in perils of water." And perils literally means dangers. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. See, guys, we got false brethren in the church too. We got those who say that they love Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. And that's what he's talking about, false brethren. In weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Man, we could say, God, where are you? Where were you? How could you let your servant go through that? But you don't hear Paul saying that. We say that because we could only imagine, but don't actually want to do it. Verse 28, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? He's sharing his struggle. He's being very transparent here. God's called me to do and I'm doing, but I'm going to tell you, it is draining and I understand. But he's not running. He's not hiding. He's being very transparent. Who is made to stumble? And do I not burn with indignation? If I must boast, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under Arius the king was guarding the city of Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me, but I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands. He says, listen, I'm telling you, I know what it is to go through the struggles and the trials and the tribulations. I know what it is for God to go and chisel away because it is so uncomfortable and it hurts and I don't like it and I don't want it. And I say, God, stop. And God will stop. But who pays the price? We do. Why? Because we're like babies, and when we're babies and we're not mature and God stops, we don't come to the full knowledge of Christ. And then all of a sudden, what happens? For some, they get mad at God. God, you could have changed this and you could have stopped this because they weren't old enough to understand what God really wanted. And then there's some who just flat out walk away because they go, this is not what I signed up for. That's because you don't love God enough. Why? Because you're not mature enough to understand who he is. And God says, listen, I'm going to tell you this isn't going to be easy. But there is no crown without a cross. Guys, we got to take up our cross. In 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't be shocked. Guys, don't be shocked when something happens because God said, don't be shocked. You're going to go through a trial. And it's a fiery trial. It's not like it's just an uncomfortable trial. It is a trial that could take you under if you don't hold on to the hand of God. Listen to what he's saying in 13. But rejoice to the extent. Don't be shocked when you go through a fiery trial, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of God and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. Guys, are you hearing what's happening here? But this is only going to happen, and you're only going to understand it because of spiritual maturity, because you allow God to chisel away the junk and make you what he made you to be. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, as a busybody in other people's matters. He's saying, you keep yourself clean. You be godly. Don't let you suffer because of sin. That's what he's saying here. Verse 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And then I'm going to close with this passage, 2 Corinthians 4, 17. He says this, And we can say this. We can say this with Paul. For our light affliction. And I find it interesting that he says our light affliction, because he just said previous to that, a fiery tribulation, a fiery time, a fiery struggle. And now here, Paul says, for our light affliction. In other words, listen, it doesn't matter what you go through on earth. Man, that is minute compared to the glory of eternal life. And we got to keep our eye on the prize, and we got to remember what our purpose is. It isn't for us, it's for Christ. But we get the rewards if we'll allow him to chisel away and make us what we are to be. Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How many of you have paid a price to obtain something you really wanted, and you thought, you know what, this is worth it. If I pay it now, it'd be good in the end, like retirement. And you put your money away, and you got ready for retirement, and you go, I know, I got to do without today. So as Dave Ramsey says, live like nobody else today so you can live like nobody else tomorrow. There's a process that we are willing to pay the price today, and it's a small price. To be godly today is a small price compared to what he says here, for what is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Guys, take up your cross. This isn't a pleasant thing. I wish it was. I wish I could have got up here and said, hey, take up your cross because it's going to be good and God's going to protect you and you're going to be rich and you're going to be wealthy and I'll smile the whole time I'm saying it and you think it and it'll be yours. You dream it and God's going to give it to you and you stay positive and God's going to heal you. And I'm just going to tell you, that's not true. That is just not true. God says you might have to suffer. There might be tribulation. I may not be able to give you riches because you may not be able to handle it. Doesn't matter how much you pray for it. I'm not going to heal you because I'm going to use that to bring me glory. And so he allows us to struggle. Why? Because we bring him glory. So for me to stand up here and say anything other than the truth would be a shame on me, and God would hold me accountable. And so I'm just telling you guys, man, take up your cross. That cross could weigh an awful lot. Nowhere do we see take up your cross as being a fun-filled moment. But I can tell you this, the rewards in the end far exceed any weight of that cross here on earth. And God says, I'll be with you, and I will protect you, and I will hold you with my righteous right hand. I loved how he said, when he said, I let you down, God. And he said, oh, no, no, no. You were never holding me up. Anybody ever think of that? He says, I hold you up. Guys, to take up your cross in spiritual maturity, that can be difficult. But if you allow God to grow you, you won't mind it at all. It'll be a moment that you'll always remember. God will be glorified, and you'll be edified. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you today for your word. Lord, as heavy as it is sometimes, Lord, we need to hear it, and it's good. And Lord, sometimes it's so heavy that we got to take it and process it. Lord, sometimes we hear your word and it just makes us angry. But Lord, I pray today, right now, that your word would bring edification to each and every one of your children here today. And then, Lord, that would bring glorification to you. Lord, help us to remember that this life on earth is but a moment. It's but a blink of an eye compared to eternity. Lord, help us to grab hold of that. And then, Lord, give us the strength to go through whatever it is, Lord, as we take up our cross. with every head bowed and every eye closed and nobody looking around. There's no way you can take up the cross if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says that He died for your sins. The Bible says that without Him, there is no way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through Jesus. And so if you're here this morning, and you're sitting there, and you cannot answer the question with a resounding yes, and the question is, if I were to die right now, do I know that I would go to heaven? If you can't answer that with a yes, then you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, it's real simple. The Bible says if you believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, the Son of God died, conquered death and hell, and rose and sits at the right hand of the Father. If you believe that in your heart, not your head, but in your heart, then God said that is faith, and faith is what saves you. And so what I like to do is I like to take people through the process and have you pray a prayer. Now, the prayer isn't what saves you. The prayer just gives you a moment in time that you can mark on a calendar the day that you surrendered your life to Christ, the day that you believed on Jesus, received Jesus, and gave your life to Christ. The prayer is just a time that you go, I remember when, and I meant it. So that's why I ask you to pray. If you wish to receive Jesus as your Savior, and it's the only way you're going to go to heaven, and I'm going to tell you, when you receive Jesus as your Savior, I am not going to promise you that life is going to be a bed of roses. I can tell you this, though, when you die, it'll be a bed of roses. But there may be a price here on earth. Jesus said, they persecuted me. Therefore, don't be shocked that they're going to persecute you. If you wish to receive Christ as your Savior, you pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I have failed you and I have disappointed you. I know that I have done things that go against your word. But Jesus, today, right now, I believe that you came and you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you conquered death and hell. And I believe that you are sitting at the right hand of the Father. And today, I surrender all to you.